Hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you once again. Weekly podcast time. I'm going to jump straight in. I know I say that every week and then I take 10 minutes to jump straight in, but I am going to jump straight in today because I've got some good stuff for you, and this forms part two of the 8-part series leading up to the launch of my new book. And depending on when you're listening to this, I'm actually going to make this part of the package that comes with the book. So you could be listening to this a few months from when I'm recording it and you've bought the book. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy the content, and I hope the book's really transformative for you. If you're listening to it more in real time, then the book is almost ready. Had a great week last week, just really sitting in some great cafes with the laptop, finishing off the book, and really excited about just getting it wrapped up this week and getting it out to you. So part two, last week in part one we looked at decisions and just how the whole process of bridging the gap, and if you haven't been part of this yet, the bridging the gap metaphor is just the gap between where you are in life right now and where you want to be. And I am traveling the journey with you, and I am so aware in my own life of the gap between where I am and still where I want to be, because you have one life and you don't get a second chance, and I figure why not have a really exciting, interesting, abundant, full life where you make a huge contribution to others. But the question's there, why don't most people bridge the gap? And there's a whole bunch of reasons. There's childhood trauma and, you know, learned behaviors and belief patterns. And if I could be honest, I'd have to say that belief patterns, these consistent belief patterns we have that shape our lives, are just so powerful. You know, our individual psychology is just such a big part of where we are in life. And the exciting thing about it is that we can change that. We can change that internal psychology. It's not easy, but it's very, very possible. And, you know, Tony Robbins, a great mentor of many people, you know, always used to say that you kind of need two things. You need a great psychology and you need great strategy. So you need to be able to kind of, it's not just enough to be positive and to have, you know, a really sort of good mental psychological structure. You've also got to know strategy. You've got to know how to do stuff. So hopefully each week I give you both of those. I'm definitely going to do that here in week two. But last week was just the concept of decision, of stepping out, of beginning to acknowledge that you are not where you want to be. And there may be some good things about your life, but there'll be some things that are driving you crazy, some things that just keep happening, and it could be financial, it could be career, it could be relationships, but something that just keeps pulling you back into the same circumstance. So step one, if you haven't heard it, jump back last week, listen to the podcast, because really that's what has to happen. You've got to get that moment of decision, that moment of this has to change. So I'm not going to go back through last week's. It's there. Have a listen to it. I want to rip into week two, which is chapter two of the book, Bridging the Gap. And it's simply this concept of reference groups. Now, some of you faithful listeners, remember I did a podcast on this a long time ago, and it's in there. If you just do a search on the site, you should find it. But I want to flesh it out a bit more and just give you some practical steps. So basically, reference groups can be summed up really well in the old saying, if you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Okay, if you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. So what is that? What's it all about? Reference groups emerged from studies that were done in sociology in elite on elite campuses in the United States over about the last 40, 50 years. And some of this really high-level sociological research argued that, and here's the kind of really confronting statement, is that you only rise as high in life as the four or five people you spend most of your time with. Now, I'm going to rule out family, sort of, because often when people think, well, I spend most of my time with my wife or my husband or, you know, my parents, and, you know, do you want me just like to, what am I supposed to get rid of them? The answer is yes, no, you're not supposed to do that. So the question is it family? Well, look, I think it's only family if there is somebody in your family group that's really negative and toxic and just has, you know, but look, you're not going to run away from your family and you're not going to have the person, you know, put away. So you got to learn to live with it. But the reference group we're talking about is kind of the four or five people that you spend time with by choice. Okay, so we're going to take family out of the equation because, you know, the old saying goes, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And, you know, I'm having a joke there, but basically, look, our families can be amazing. I know that's not everybody's experience, but let's also focus on the fact that our families are such an amazing source of support and encouragement at their best. And I'm going to talk about the people that we choose to spend our time with. That's our reference group. So as I begin to talk about it, who are the four or five people that you are spending most of your time with? You know, that you're either it's in a work environment or it's sporting or social or it's your close friends. Because this sociological theory of reference groups is going to tell you that whoever these people are, you will basically achieve at their level. So whatever they have financially, you're going to achieve ballpark in that area. Whatever they have spiritually, you're going to achieve ballpark in that area. Wherever they're at physically, you're going to achieve ballpark in that area. So that's a big deal. And this is a pretty confronting podcast because you can see all the ramifications here. So this reference groups, and I guess I should clarify, why reference groups? Because it's the group that you refer to or that you reference yourself against. And we're not actually, you know, it's not as if we get up and we're hanging out with our friends and we go, I'm really comparing myself consciously to you. It's just that we settle into their beliefs. We settle into their behavior patterns. So, you know, as you know from every podcast, I'm an obsessive exerciser. I love cycling and keeping fit. And so how many times have I talked about the fact that I keep training with, you know, really, really good cyclists and people that really know how to push and keep fit and they teach me stuff because I sort of compare myself to them. I go, well, they're the people I want to look like. I mean, let's make it really simple. Who do you think Tiger Woods plays golf with? You know, I've got a great friend, Chris. You might be listening, and Chris is an amazing cello player. You know, really excited for him, and many of you listening to this would know Chris. You know, incredible cello player, gifted, talented, you know, and he's performing at the highest international level. I mean, who does Chris play cello with? You know, other amazing cellists. So think of any area in life where there's excellence. You know, brain surgery, rocket science, even on the spiritual plane, you know, the great spiritual leaders like your Mother Teresa's, they're surrounded by other people that deeply reinforce and encourage and support that deep spiritual paradigm. So it doesn't have to just involve money or, you know, fame or success. It's right across the area of our life. Wherever you see somebody doing something, you know, interesting and exciting, look who's around them. You know, and again, even when you see some of our stars, you know, make terrible decisions, you know, drugs or, you know, financial mistakes or relationship mistakes, it's often because they've got people around them who are letting that happen. And in the literature, we call it, you know, empowering behavior. You know, sometimes people get people around them who empower them to do terrible things or enabling behavior. It's called enabling. They enable the addictions to continue or they enable the bad decisions to continue. So this is a really big thing, and it's confronting for me because lately I've been really looking around. Where do I spend most of my time? I mean, who are the people that I, you know, really spend a lot of time with? And the exciting thing that I mentioned when I first spoke about this in a live event was the idea that, you know, the internet's changed so much, and you can actually now access virtual reference groups. You know, you can be part of online communities, or you can listen to podcasts and watch YouTube training videos, you can access some of the most amazing people in the world. So we can kind of virtually expand our reference group, but at the end of the day, it really is those four or five people. And this is where it's going to get rocky because I'm going to have to be clear with you and say that if you really want to grow and you really want to be successful and you really want to contribute and take all the gifts and the talent, the capacity that's in you and share it and grow it, then you may need to make some changes in your reference group. Now, it's going to be really difficult. I mean, I say that at the start, it's going to be very hard. Why? Because one of the sort of meta theories, the big theories that inform so much of what I do is just how, you know, on the evolutionary scale, just how really still we're very conditioned by how we've grown up in terms of as the human person, anthropologically. You know, our bodies haven't changed much in 50,000 years, but our environments have. So at a deep level, we're still highly group-oriented. You know, the tribe, the people in the cave with us, we're still very conditioned to group belonging. It's a good thing because, you know, it's part of how human society flourished, was that humans learned to really cooperate. But, you know, think back to 50-odd thousand years ago, you're in your tribe. You know, everything that you did in your tribe was about belonging. The last thing you'd want to do is do things where your tribe said, well, you don't belong, and they'd kick you out. Why? Because back then you'd die, literally die. Because if you weren't part of the group or the tribe, you would die. You'd starve or you'd freeze or, you know, you'd get killed by other tribes. So we've evolved to kind of be highly social. And again, it's, you know, it's also part of how when we're born, we bond with parents. And so at that sort of animal level, we're highly sort of adapted and evolved to belong. And what we do is we don't want to stand out. So when we begin to change reference groups, it's very confronting because we go, I'm going to be outside the group. And what if I don't find another group? And what if people say things about me? And I just really want to encourage you, for those of you that have been on a journey with me for a long time on the weekly podcast, you know, eventually you've got to find a lot of courage because people, you know, they always talk about, I want to be wealthier, I want to do this, or I want, you know, to get promoted. And, you know, you ever wonder why most people don't get there? Because it's really hard. Because you got to actually do some things that are going to rock your boat and are going to be quite confronting. And this is one of them. Firstly, you've got to stand back and look at your reference group and be honest enough to go, well, you know, this ain't really where I want to be. And you could look at somebody that you do care about and you've had a long history with, but they're living in a way that isn't where you want to live. Now, obviously, it's going to raise two questions here, right? So the first one is, well, if you want to change reference groups, how do you step up to a new one? I mean, it's not like you walk up to a group of people and go, hey, you look like a really good reference group. Can I join? I mean, you're not going to do that. And also the other obvious question is, well, how do you let go of people? It's really confronting, isn't it? Because it's like you're judging them or you're saying that they're bad people and you're a good person and you're somehow just amazing now and they're just slobs and you have nothing to do with them. And they're going to talk about you and people are going to say, you've changed, man. It used to be about the music. You've changed. You know, people look at you and all of the sort of fears in us get really rattled. But I guess the first point is, at the end of the day, you're not living another person's life, you're living yours. And your ultimate accountability is to live as fully and passionately, and I always say the word contribution, you know, to contribute as much as you can. And if you've got relationships or groups that are holding you back, then I think you've got a real accountability to yourself to go, well, I'm not responsible for where they're at, you know, and what they're doing. I've got to grow. So let's address these in order, right? So we're going to talk first about how do you step up and then how do you let go. So I'll do the first one because it's relatively straightforward. The first thing you have to do is if you want to step up to a new reference group, well, there's one thing that's sort of quite easy to do and one that's really hard. The easy thing to do is to find a reference group and make contact with them. That's actually the easy part. You know, you can identify, you know, people in your industry or your business or, you know, people in a social network that you really want to start hanging out with. You can do that, and you might sound like it's scary, but you can actually start to hang out with them and approach them. That's not the hard part. The hard part is the huge shift that has to take place in your psychology where you actually go, you know what? I belong there. That's the work. Because until your psychology changes, I just wish I could reach through this microphone and grab you and shake you and tell you because I know this to be true. We cannot go to the next level in life until our psychology takes us there, and I know this to be true. You can fake everything. You can change your clothes, you can change your hairstyle, you can do anything you want, but if your psychology isn't going to sustain the leap or the jump into the next level, sooner or later, I can guarantee you will sabotage it. You will blow it up in some way, and you won't even know you're doing it because your psychology won't let you go. It won't let you go up there until it says, okay, that's who we are now. We are this person. That's where we go because we belong there. We fit there. So a whole bunch of stuff has to happen. You've got to have a whole bunch of work on yourself where you go, you know what? I'm not settling anymore for a whole bunch of people that are, you know, drink too much or they don't want to be fit or they're always negative and critical. They gossip all the time or they're always, you know, just lazy. I just don't want that. Because why? Because that's not you anymore because you don't belong there. You've grown. You've changed. Your psychology shifted and you're going to step up into that next level. So, you know, in the book and in other books and in ongoing podcasts, I want to take you through that process of how you shift that psychology. It's journaling, it's personal affirmations, it's learning to treat yourself better. One of the first things you have to do is really treat yourself better. You know, look after yourself, make time to care for yourself, and then slowly your whole self gets the message, wow, I'm worth being with, I'm worth looking after, I'm worth caring for. And I want the most out of life. And then when their psychology is right, you will be amazed at how things begin to just gradually fall into place. So step one, you've got to get that belief. I deserve this. I belong here. I want to go there. Why? Because I'm selfish. I want money and I just want to be rich. No, It's not that, and that's another internal conflict. It'll be like, well, you know, I just want all these things and I'm a bad person because I want stuff. No, friends, when you grow, you contribute more. That's the underlying sort of great big symphony that I'm trying to get out in life, is that when we grow, we can contribute more. You know, when we grow, we're happy. You know, when you're happiest in life, it'll be because awesome stuff's happening, you know, and you're growing and contributing and hanging with people and there's things are coming together. You're at your best there. Why not spend more and more time there? So we shift the psychology, and then the simple second part was, where are these people? There's the question, where are they? Where is that next reference group? Where is that group of people that you want to spend more time with, you know, in your industry? And then sometimes you just got to be blunt. You just got to go, look, can I just come and have coffee with you guys? Or where are they? Where do they go? I mean, I had to find out where all the best cyclists were. Or, you know, or good musicians or other things that I'm interested in. You know, where are the best people who understand social media and internet marketing, and who are the best thinkers in the world on personal development and growth and goals and leadership and business? And I just keep reading and finding where they are and spending more time with them, because that's the easy part. So that's just a simple question for you. Where are they? Where are they? Now, I'm not talking about a wholesale transplant here. It's not like you get your five closest friends and never speak to them again. It's just a gradual process of making connections and networks with people operating at that higher level. Okay, it's the old principle in previous podcasts of one step up. So I hope I've done justice to that. Psychology shift, identify the group, where are they, begin to go where they are, begin to do what they do. And again, please get this part. When you start to do it, you'll be afraid. You will be afraid. Your brain will go, Jonathan's wrong. I shouldn't do this. Everything will say, go back, go back, go back. Don't go back. I can remember having to learn how to ride with good cyclists. Everything in my head was like, what if I crash? What if I cause a crash? What if I can't keep up? What if I get dropped off the back? What if I do this? What if I do that? And my brain, and I just learned to go, you know what? Maybe all those things will happen. Maybe I'll kill 15 people on the first ride. I don't know. But I'm just like, I can't live in the cave anymore. I got to go out and try. So be prepared for those fears, because they're going to happen and you just keep walking through them. So the second thing was, okay, we found how to go up, but what do we do with the reference group that we're, or people in the reference group that we're not going to spend as much time with? Well, a couple of things on this. Again, the first thing that's going to happen is turbulence and, well, two things, turbulence and judgment. So people will start to say things to you like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, you don't hang out with us anymore. Or like, what's wrong with you? Like, you don't like it. What are you changing? You're becoming all like, you know, this now. You're probably going to get, that's what I call turbulence. You're going to get some static. You're going to get some, what's wrong with you? You know, blah, 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 blah. Because the group, it's what, you know, I've talked about homeostasis. The group is going to reach out and try and pull you back. Because if you start to fly, they're going to go, they're going to notice. They're going to go, well, he thinks or she thinks they're better than us. And it gets really hard. It can get really hard. And then they're going to pass judgments possibly on you, and you're going to pass judgments on yourself. Oh, I shouldn't be, you know, what kind of friend am I? We've been friends for 20 years or 10 years, and here am I leaving them. Okay, but let's deal with that. You're not leaving them. I want you to remember this term. You're blessing them on, okay? You're releasing them and just going, you know what, I wish them the best. I care about them. I'm grateful to all that they brought to my life and they've taught me. But I have to go here, and I'm just going to bless them on and just pray that the rest of their life flourishes. But I'm going to gradually spend less time and less investment on that relationship. It doesn't mean you ring up and go, hey, I just heard a podcast. You're a lousy reference group. And Jonathan Doyle says, I can never speak to you again. Goodbye. Okay, don't do that. Don't put on Facebook, I hate you all. I want nothing to do with you because you've ruined my life. No, it's just a gradual process of looking where you want to go and spending less time where you were. And if it comes to the point of a confrontation, it's like, well, look, you know, you don't have to make it about them. Just say, look, I'm just really growing and I'm just in a great phase of life and I want to learn more and do more and I'm spending time here. And you know, you'd be surprised. You might even also find that when they see you change, it motivates them and they start to get interested. You know, one of the great privileges of doing the work that I do is that, you know, I got people that kind of, you know, meet socially and they go, oh, yeah, you know, I've taken up this or I've started this because I heard you do this or I heard you say this. And I'm like, that's awesome. So you might find that your stepping up really kind of releases other people to do the same. Especially if you've got kids, if you're listening to this and you've got kids, do this for them. I mean, let them see you living right on. It's one of the most exciting things. You know, I've still got really young kids. And whatever else they'll say about me, you know, at my funeral, I'm hoping that they'll be like, man, Dad was just go, go, go. He was on the edge. He was living and growing and contributing and passionate about every little thing that he could do to learn and grow. I mean that. You can hear it in my voice. And even talking about it now, I'm a bit moved by it because what a gift to give, you know? And I think of my own, you know, dear father who's passed away. You know, Dad had so many challenges in life and he had a very difficult life, especially as a young man. And it made it incredibly hard for him to do this, you know? And as every day goes by, more and more compassion that I have for him because I think, wow, Dad, you know, you never got to do this. You never got to kind of, you know, learn this stuff and do these things because, you know, because of things that happened and because it was a generation that sometimes didn't have the skills and the tools. But you're listening to this. And I've got kids and you might have two, or if you don't have kids, you might one day. And your modeling of this stuff has such an impact, maybe on your kids, maybe on your work friends. So come on, there is no other way to live than to just live passionately and alive. And all I'm selling in this podcast today is that one of the big indicators of how far you get is going to be who's around you. So take control of that. Don't just be passive. Don't just go, well, this is my friends and we've always just been this. And I'm there going, no, just make a decision. Bless them on. Spend less time. You're not judging them. You're just releasing them to their journey and to what they're doing. And you're taking your journey somewhere else and you're going to need different people around you to really flourish and really go. So to practice this, just observe, right? Just observe the next week or two, what you do socially, where you go, who's in that group. You're not judging them. You're not saying they're evil people. You're just going, is this where I want to be? You know, and I just want to really nuance this the right way because I don't want it to sound like I'm elitist, like I'm just like, oh, I've got this group of people and they're just there, but I don't hang out with anybody else. It's so not me. There are people that I get to spend time with, you know, at the peak of professional, political, religious, business, you know, they're really operating at the highest levels and I get incredible joy out of people that just aren't, the people that are having very simple lives, you know. Just recently, I was out somewhere. I was just talking to some people, and they were just awesome. You know, really simple, good people doing a great job in their families. And you know, they're never going to be on TV, and they're never going to be doing X. But they're just, you know. And I get really encouraged just by seeing their goodness and just them walking out daily life. So there's a spectrum here, but I'm giving you this sort of general principle that reference group of those key four or five people are going to be really, really central. And you are far more in control of that process. So here's a question for you. Who's two or three people in your industry or life or that you know that you'd like to spend some time around? Who's one? Who's one person that you just like to spend a bit more time around? That has something to teach you or that you admire or that has some capacities that really fascinate you? That's the person. You know, just be brave. Go and fail. I always say fail. Ring them up. Write them a letter. Send them a text. Post something. Just go, hey, could I have 30 minutes of your time? I would love to just talk to you about this. Or, you know, where are they? Where do they socialize? Go and join up and do what they do and get some time with them. Okay, so that's the principle for this weekly podcast on reference groups. Book's going to be coming out very soon. Of course, you may have already bought it by now if you're listening to this later on the website. But if you haven't yet, go and grab a copy. Grab this podcast, share it with people, get these ideas to people, post it on your social feeds, grab the links, send it to a friend, say, hey, listen to this. You need to listen to this. Appreciate you doing that. Post a comment under the podcast, come back to the site, or if you are computer savvy, please jump onto iTunes, and I would love it if you could post a comment on iTunes under the weekly podcast there. It makes a big difference. So I'm Jonathan Doyle. I look forward to hearing from you. Email me if you want to. Hit me up on social media. All the links are usually back under the site or on the email that you received. I'm going to have a great message for you next week. It's going to be part 3 of the book. It's going to be really good. You might want to listen to today's talk a couple of times. Put it when you go for a jog, driving. Just get those principles in. And I'm really excited. I hope you're going to use them. And I hope it helps your life really flourish. I'm Jonathan Doyle. Going to speak with you again next week.